This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So we're in our series entitled Disciplined Faith. And so I want to talk to you today just from the from the subtopic of faith for a better life. And I wanted to make sure that I threw this in there and simply threw it in there because, you know, that is part of the whole reason that Lady and I came to New Bern. Years ago, this year, our ministry will be 15 years old. Can you believe we're going to be 15 years old this year? Isn't that amazing? Came to this city, didn't know anybody, anything about the city, and look what God has done, amen. And so our vision is pointing you to Christ so that you can live a better life. And years ago, when I started the ministry and was praying, the Lord said that if you will teach the word of faith in a simplistic manner where people can understand it and apply it in their lives, I will send them from the north, the south, the east, in the West, and this is the key, he says, and if they apply it, he says that they will live a better life. And we can see that that is evident. People have come from all over, you know, and you all, how many can say, I'm living a better life as a result of this ministry? Amen. And so I want you to understand that no matter where you are today, that better is possible. Everybody say better is possible. Yep, better is possible. So life is choice driven. You are where you are because of the choices that you made in the past. If you don't like where you are, there's no use in beating yourself up, no use in crying, you know, over spilled milk. You just have to learn to start making better choices. And as you make better choices, it's going to put you in a better place. It is so vitally important that I teach faith. You got it? Because that is how we live. We live by faith. Those of you that have come to this ministry and your life has changed, it is because you have taken the word of faith, you have applied it in your life, and you have seen results. And I am about results. You got it? Like, if it don't work, then I'm not going to do it. But I know that the word works if you work the word. Mark 9:23 was a foundational scripture that we just stood on from the very beginning. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst do what, class? Believe. Everyone in this ministry should know this scripture. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And we've learned throughout the years that possibilities for us are not defined in terms of human logic or intellectual reasoning, that possibilities for us are defined by how we can believe. So if we can believe, it doesn't matter if the person next to you doesn't believe. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. If you can believe, it becomes possible for you, because it takes the same process of faith to believe for a slice of bread as it does for a loaf of bread, so you might as well believe for the loaf. You got, like, if you're going to dream, you might as well dream big. If you're going to believe, you might as well believe big, because you got to understand that anytime I step out on faith, it's never on my ability, but it's on God's ability. And so watch this. If it's God doing it, I might as well dream big. You got it. When we begin to talk about living a better life, and we use that word better, when I say the word better, I'm talking about having a higher level of satisfaction. I'm talking about having a higher level of productivity. I'm talking about having a higher level of fulfillment than you presently have. So watch this. So no matter where you are right now, even if you're in a great place, it's still the will of God for you to do better. Does that make sense? Bible says we go from faith to faith, and we go from glory to glory. John 10:10, which is another foundational scripture that we use in our ministry. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. This is Jesus talking. He says, I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And the Amplified, I love the Amplified. It says the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. All right? That's the whole purpose of the enemy. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to destroy relationships. He wants to kill your dreams. So when bad things happen, it's not God's fault. All right? If you're not careful, you'll go through a tough time. And if you start listening to the enemy, he'll try to talk you into, you know, God did this and God did that. No. Jesus said, I've come, watch this, that they may have, watch this, and enjoy life. So he didn't just want you to have life, just be breathing, but he wants you to enjoy life. He wants you to live a life of no stress, no strain, and no struggle. He wants you to live an overflowing, abundant life. So he says, I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance. Watch this, to the full, till it overflows. So God wants you to live an amazing life, and we've just coined it that God wants you to live this better life. So no matter where you are today, you've got to keep believing that better is possible, that better is possible in your life. And I want to give you a perspective on this kind of life. Like, what kind of life is this? Pastor, if I'm supposed to be releasing my faith for a better life, then what should I be releasing my faith for? Yeah, I want a better life, but that's more of a blanket, you know, statement. What are the things that I need to intentionally be releasing my faith for? So let's get this perspective on what kind of life it is. Everybody say number one. Number one, it is a life without limits. It is a life without limits. When we started this ministry, I remember Lady LaConte and I in our big home in Jacksonville, we were just praying and we were believing and we were fasting and we were just taking one step and then taking another step and those kind of things. You know, we did everything the right way. We talked to my pastor and, you know, he gave us his blessing, the green light. And even then, I didn't move right away. You got it? I'm not really sure why I just waited, but I was just waiting. I wanted to be sure. After a year went by, the Lord's like, so you're going to do what I told you to do? You got it? And so, you know, but during this time, we were putting together, you know, what our church would look like. And what Lady LaConte and I did says we are going to create a culture, an environment, a church where if we were not the pastors, we would love to go. Does that make sense? Yeah, and that's exactly when you know what we've done. And so when we came to the name, there was all kind of names that we threw back and forth. But when we got to Without Limits Christian Center, man, both of our hearts jumped and we're like, that's it. Along the way, people say, well, why Without Limits Christian Center? Well, number one, that's the word God gave us, the name God gave us. But number two, it reminds us that we serve a God of no limits, that he can do absolutely anything but fail, and all things are possible if we only believe. You got it? Ephesians 3 and 20, another very familiar passage of scripture. The writer says in Ephesians, down to him that is able to do, that's Paul, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh within us. Now, if you've been coming for a while, you should understand this scripture, and this scripture teaches us that God has the ability to go beyond the scope of our present thinking. So whatever we are thinking, God says, I can do that, but just so you know, I can do better than that. Why? Because he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. When you get to another level of faith, God says, I can do that, but just so you know, I can do better than that. And you start believing for, I'm talking about, you got crazy faith, like, I don't want any bills. I want my car paid off. I want my house paid off. I want to live debt free. I want that margin in life that you're talking about. God says, I can do that, but I can do better than that because I'm able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. You're going, see, you can live your life by design or you can live it by default. You got it? Default meaning whatever just happens, happens. I don't believe in that. I believe that if I'm going to live in my future, I might as well plan the future I'm going to live, and you plan it with the word of God. Does that make sense? Yes, Lady LaConte and I, man, when we first got married, you know, we understood that there were no limits to what God could do for us in our marriage and in our relationships. Man, we started dreaming big. We started believing big. You know, I've always liked nice stuff. You got it? Like, I didn't just start liking nice stuff, you know, and like, you know, I just, when I was a kid, when I was 16, I bought a car. It was a nice car, cleaned it up, you know, and then, I don't know, Joe, how long I kept my first car. It wasn't long, maybe a year, and then I went and got me another car, and then, you know, I traded. I've always liked stuff. You got it? And in the early days, I paid $300 for that car, but I kept that car up. You got it? I kept it clean. I kept the oil changed. If you ever got in that car smelled good, you know, and those kind of things, because he that is faithful in the little things, hello, somebody, will be faithful in the bigger things. Isn't that right? So don't be living in an apartment believing for a big house, but you can't even keep the apartment clean. Well, praise the Lord. You got it? Yeah. You know, somebody, hey, can I come over? Oh, not right now. And so we would drive on the car lots and look at the big fancy cars. And that might not be your thing, and it's okay. So I'm not trying to sell that on anybody. That's just what we believe for. You got it? And so, you know, we would drive through gated communities. I remember we had this little car, and we were driving through this gated community, and, like, we were kind of scared. Like, are we allowed to go back behind these gates? You got it? Like, are they going to say anything to us? You know, why? Because we were trying to paint a picture on the canvas of our imagination of what we wanted our life to look like. And we understood that the word of God, watch this, and our agreement together was all we needed. And that is why the enemy tries to fight in marriages. And that's why he tries to keep you all, you know, going at each other and fussing and being in discord. Because even the enemy knows if that husband and wife can get together in faith and really love one another and really keep each other as their priority and at the top of the list and keep the word of God and Jesus at the center, that absolutely anything becomes possible. Does that make sense? That's a good place to clap. And so as it is in the natural, we saw God do amazing things. And so we were, you know, we just did amazing, you know, in business and in our marriage. And then God tells us to start this church. And so we understood that the same God that did all those things, the same God who was the God of no limits in our lives, was going to be the same God who was the God of no limits in this ministry. Does that make sense? And so, and we've seen and continue to see God do amazing things. So number one, what you need to be releasing faith for is a life without limits. All right? A life without limits. Everybody say no limits.
No limits.
All right. Here we go. Number two, a life without lack. A life without lack. If you have a lack, it's temporary. Because you serve a God who has made a commitment to you, all right? And so if there is a lack in your life, you need to quit looking at that lack that is always going to be like that, because it's not always going to be like that. Matter of fact, how many know everything changes? Right? So why wouldn't that change? You got it? Now, there might be some things that I need to do, because the Bible tells me I can't just be a hearer of the word. I got to be a doer of the word. So there's some spiritual things I need to do. And then there's also some natural things that I need to do. You got it? To make sure that I'm not experiencing lack. Because sometimes we experience lack, and it's our fault. Sometimes we don't have money to pay our bills because we went shopping. Praise the Lord. You got it. Let me tell you what faith is not. Can I tell you what faith is not? Faith is not having your bill money, all right, and then you see something on Amazon. So you say, I'm just going to release my faith, and I'm going to use my bill money to buy that thing on Amazon, and I'm just going to release my faith that God's going to come back around. No, because that's not proper stewardship. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because proper stewardship, watch this, it leads to abundance. It produces abundance in my life. So when I do it God's way, I get God results. I'm going to give to God. I'm going to pay my creditors. You got it. I'm going to save some money, even if it's $20 every paycheck, and then I'm going to spend the rest. Does that make sense? All right, Philippians 4 and 19, talking about a life without lack. A life without lack. Here's the promise. It says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The prerequisite for the scriptures, you have to be a giver. Amen. See, if you're not a giver, this is not going to work. But if you are a giver, this is going to work, all right? His name is Jehovah Jireh. He is the Lord that always provides. And you have to learn how to trust God as your source. Money is not a source. It's just a resource. Most people think it's a source. That's why they hold on to it. And they're scared to let it go. And they won't give. And they won't do those kind of things. But see, money is not a source. It's just a resource. It's a good resource. And we need it in the earth. You got it. To do what we need to do. But we still need to handle money and do it God's way. And so you've got to learn how to trust God as your source. I remember years ago, we were just at a really tough point in our lives. And I told you my story years ago, you know, how I got out in the military, landed this big job, couldn't work third shift. And so I had to leave the job on base and went and took a job working $6.25 an hour. And because I believed that some money was better than no money. And if I was faithful in that which was least, that God, you know, he would bless me with more. And at that time, we only had one car. You got it? And since we only had one car, who drove the car? Lady drove the car. Isn't that right? Yeah. Yeah, I didn't get enough amens out of that. Amen. Maybe I need to rewalk down that road, praise the Lord. You got it, you know, husband and wives, you know, in the relationship, you got it. If there's only one car, you got it. Unless there's a reason for her not to drive it, you got it. The wife gets the car. And and then when you get a second car, you got it. She drive the newer one. That keep you in faith. Hello, somebody. So y'all can both be driving good. Because if you're not careful, you're like, well, shucks, I'm driving good. That's on her. See, that's not God's will. But a lot of people are like that. You got it? Because what happens is we have forgotten, brothers, that when we have, we watch this, when a man has found a wife, he's found a good thing and he's obtained favor from the Lord. Don't mess up the favor. Come on, somebody. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself a ransom. Do you know what Jesus did? You got it? And we can never measure up to what Jesus did. You got it? But it's just like a simile, like you can't do what Jesus did, but as best as you can, you love your wife like, watch this, like Christ loved the church. Man, that's a tall order. But every day of my life, you got it, when it comes to lady, I give it my very best to make sure she knows that she is my priority. You got it? She is my priority. She is my queen. She is my addiction. You understand what I'm saying? You got it? You got, because whatever you're addicted to, you spend money on. Come on, somebody. So I just made lady my addiction. You understand what I'm saying? So it's just, you know, because I want her to know that she is at the top. She ain't never, and I know that is not good grammar, you got it? But she ain't never got to worry about me, hello somebody, and not keeping her at the top. You got it? Understand what I'm saying? You know, so in your mind, you just got it. Because in this culture, you know, it's okay to do stuff. You got it. It's okay to do stuff. It's okay. I don't know what y'all call it, but to have people on the side and, you know, all that kind of stuff. No, it don't matter what culture says. What about what the Bible says? And when we learn to live by the word of God, God will put his super on our natural and we'll see amazing things in our lives. Just give the Lord a big hand praise. I got to get my own clap. No, all I'm trying to say is, when it comes to my marriage, I've taken the word of God and I worked this thing out and I got results. You got it? I mean, we've been together, me and y'all now, not like me and lady together, but we've been together long enough now, you got it, to for you all to know that our relationship is real. Yes. Isn't that right? And we ain't faking this thing, right? You got it. So what I'm showing you is that if you do it this way, it works. Man, why has the Holy Spirit got me on this? I'm just trying to go to my next lesson. But what happens is, if I'm selfish, then I want what I want, even at the risk of making sure you don't get what you want. Not understanding, watch this now, that the two become one. So there's no longer your dream and my dream, but it's our dream. You got it. It's no longer your faith project and my faith project, but it's our faith project. So when lady's working on something, I jump right in it. You got it. And my faith is at 100. You got it. Because I want to see it produced in her life. And then when I'm working on something, she jumps right on with me at 100 because she wants to see it work. And that's how it's supposed to work. Does that make sense? Amen. All right. So I don't know how we got there, but praise the Lord. It's a life without limits. It's a life without lack. And then number three, it is a life without losses. It is a life without losses. My confession, according to the word of God, is that I always win. You got it. I always win. Everybody say, I always win. You know, I don't appraise the possibility of losing when I have not lost. I always win. Even when I'm in a tough situation and it didn't work out the way that I thought it was supposed to work out, I believe Romans 8:28, that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. There are some times in my life where it looked like I didn't win. But I kept living long enough and kept staying in faith long enough and saw God come around and work that thing out for my good. Does that make sense? And so you can never take a situation that is not working in your life and think that I'm losing. No, I'm always winning. And if I stay in the fight, I am going to win. I am going to see God show up in my life. So it's a life without losses. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. So if we're going to believe the word says that we always win in Christ and make it manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. So you are winning even when it looks like you're losing. You're winning even when it looks like you're losing. The key is learning to do it God's way. If you do it God's way, you are going to get God results in your life. If you do it God's way, you're going to get God results in your life. God's way is the way of the word. You got it? God's way is the way of extending grace. God's way is the way of loving one another. You got it? God's way is the way of forgiving one another. You got it? You got it? God's way is the way of overlooking faults. You got it? And seeing somebody, watch this, the way God sees them, seeing them through the eyes of eternity. That's God's way, you know? God's way is not getting back at somebody. Oh, is that what they think? Okay, yeah. Yeah, I got something for them. I'm going to be cool right now. I'm going to let it kind of calm down. But I got something for them. I'm working on something. You got it. It's going to mess their whole life up. So y'all tell them, listen to all the sanctified. You know that's how the devil tries to get in your head. Don't act like you ain't ever wanted to see nobody do bad. Oh, God, if I had time. No. You know, because there's some people that, you know, that when people do you wrong, you got it. Sometimes we don't always respond in the spirit. Sometimes we respond in our flesh. You got it. And if we just found out on Facebook that something might not be going right, see, yeah, that's what you get for messing with me. I'm one of God's chosen. You got it. God loved me. Well, he loved him too. Come on, somebody. So your vindication can never come in life at the fact that you want God to hurt or harm somebody. Because God is a loving God who is a God of grace. And even if they did mess you over, God's not going to change his mind about them. Because guess what? He didn't change his mind about you. Isn't that right? He is a loving God. You got it? And watch this. But your vindication will come. You got it? Even if somebody has hurt you, even if they've done wrong, even if they broke you down. And I'm not saying that's right. But two wrongs don't make a right. I'm teaching somebody up in here this morning. So your vindication never comes at the hurt or the harm of somebody else. Your vindication comes that God will allow that person who broke you down, who did you wrong, he will allow them to live long enough to see you make it back to the top. He will allow you to live long enough to see you prosper in life. Does that make sense? Yeah, and so you got to just believe that. All right, so it's a life without limits. It's a life without lack. It's a life without losses. And then number four, it's a life without loneliness. It's a life without loneliness. He's never going to leave you alone. Never going to leave you alone. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, in the Amplified of Hebrews 13:5, they'll put it up on the screen. One of my favorite scriptures, haven't quoted it in a long time. It says, let your character or moral disposition be free from the love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstance and what you have. This scripture is not telling me that I can't dream and I can't believe for more, but is saying where I am right now, have gratitude. Where I am right now, be thankful. You got it? All right? So for he God himself has says, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, relax my hold on you, assuredly not. So we see from scripture that no matter what comes or no matter what goes, that we serve a loving God who makes a commitment that he's never going to leave us, he's never going to forsake us, and he's going to be with us until the end. You got it? So let's in my last few minutes talk about where did this confusion come from. The confusion comes from what I like to call religious regimentation. Religious regimentation. Everybody say it. People are more religiously regimented than they are established in revelation. All right? Religion is about a ritual. We do it this way because we always did it this way. You got it. I seen my granddaddy do it this way, and I seen my daddy do it this way, so this is the way I'm going to do it. I seen my grandmama do it this way. I seen my mama do it this way. And no disrespect, but maybe their way wasn't God's way. So you have to learn how to do it God's way. Whole thing about revelation is when I know better, I will do better. So the moment I get a revelation on it and realize that the way I was going was not the right way, then, watch this, I make the adjustment and start doing God's way so I can get God results in my life. Amen? In life, you will have one of several approaches or resolves to God, all right? Number one, or possibility, is to have what we call a religious resolve, And that's just, I come to church out of tradition, you got it? But I just go back home and I still live a defeated life because I just come to church because it's Sunday. That's the wrong reason to come to church. You got it? And so I don't make any changes. I don't make any adjustments. I just get dressed up because it's Sunday. You understand what I'm saying? And so that's why the writer teaches us, you can't just be a hearer of the word. You got to be a doer of the word. When you are a doer of the word, that's when it changes and transforms your life. You got it? So a religious resolve. Some people have what we call a reprobate resolve. Reprobate resolve. This is, even when I know what God says to do, I won't do it, but expect God to help me anyways. This is a person who isn't capable of making godly decisions because of their distorted and disturbed thinking. All right? And then there's relationship resolve. This is relationship resolve. This is you just come to church because of relationships. My cousin go there. My auntie go to Without Limits. You got it? And people value relationships over everything. People cannot make righteous choices because of relationships. Eli got into trouble with God because of relationships. People will leave a church because of relationships. Pastor and lady didn't do anything to them, but because this person fell out with that person, they just leave. And why in the world would you leave a ministry that has been so life-giving and taking you from this place to this place all because you got mad with somebody? Go to a different service, sit on the other side if it's that bad. But maybe we ought just to forgive them, love them, extend grace, and keep on moving with our lives. See, the highest degree of commitment to walking with God is number four, a revelation resolve. And that whole revelation resolve is simply, when I know better, I will do better. Everybody say, when I know better, I will do better. Yeah, yeah. So here we go. So your pastor is about to tell you and teach you something, in case you didn't know it, all right? There should never be, under any circumstance, a husband screaming, yelling, or putting his hands on his wife. Amen. Never. Never. What'd I say? Yeah. Never. You got it. Like, oh man, years ago, your lady used to help me when we got married in the early days. If I saw a guy, you know, fussing at his wife in the, in the grocery store, or just being real demeaning, oh boy, that would bother me. I want to go over and talk to him. Hey, excuse me, bro, can I talk to you for a minute? You got it. Like, I didn't like that. You understand what I'm saying? Your lady's like, babe, I understand, but you need to stay out of folks. You know, you don't know that guy like that. I'm like, well, he don't know me like that. You understand what I'm saying? Because there should never be a reason, hello somebody, because you didn't get married to put your hands on her. You didn't get married to make her feel bad and cry all the time. You didn't get married to demean. Now, I can flip that thing too, because some ladies can go at it too. Praise the Lord. I'm equal opportunity. You understand what I'm saying? But see, that is not what we do. So now watch this. If you didn't have the revelation that you shouldn't scream at your spouse, put your hands on your spouse, you got it right now. You just got a revelation from the man of God. So now that you know better, you show enough better, do better. Does that make sense? Yeah. And I do not tolerate that as it relates to situations where, you know, people are going through that kind of thing. I don't believe that anybody should be beating on anybody. You got it. That's a toxic relationship, and y'all know I believe in you can win with the one you got. I believe in all that. Y'all know that, but I don't believe you stay in a relationship where you getting beat. Yes. Call the po-po. Right. How you spell po-po? P-O-P-O. Call the popo. You got it. And when they get there, don't change the story, because he cried, I'm sorry. I ain't never going to do it. And then he do it again. Or she do it again. You got it. Yeah, no, we don't live those kind of lives, and God doesn't want you to live that kind of life. Does that make sense? Now I'm not trying to act like I'm the perfectest husband in the world. You understand what I'm saying? I'm a very, very good husband to my wife. You got it. I'm not acting like I don't ever have a bad day. But what I don't ever do is put my hands on her. Whatever I don't ever do is cuss her out. What I don't ever do is scream and yell at her, because that's not God's will for our lives. Does that make sense? If anything, I'm the type of guy just going to be quiet and just walk out the door and go for a drive. And then lady used to get on me about that. See, every time you don't agree with something, you leave. I'm like, oh. I thought I was doing good. I ain't cussing you. I didn't put my hands on you. I thought I just need to go give me some time to get myself together. So then I graduated from getting in my car to leaving to just walking outside. And then she tell me, see, something we disagree on, something you walk out the door. Okay, but I didn't drive down the road. You got it? And then I had to graduate. I got to stay in the house. Got to stay in the house. Okay, well, I'm going to the next room. See, you got to go in there in the other room. I thought I was supposed to work it out. But not overnight, but over time, I finally figured that thing out. Just take some deep breaths, count from 99 to 1 backwards. You got it? And work that thing out, because I got the revelation that, let's go home, man. I got the revelation that more was at stake than my feelings. And that's what you got to understand. More is at stake than your feelings in that moment to get heated. But if I can just learn to have a revelation resolve, that if I can do it God's way, I will get God results in my life. Heads about, as I close, believers are praying all over the building. Father, we thank you for this lesson and how you breathe on us. And Father, I thank you for the good life, this better life, this life without limits, this life without lack, this life without losses, and this life without loneliness. Thank you that you're never, ever going to leave us by ourselves. But you make a commitment that you will always be there to help us. And so, Father, we give you praise for it, and we give you glory for it. And so, Father, even now, I set my faith in agreement for my brothers and for my sisters in this room. You know them name by name, and you know them situation by situation. You know what they're believing for. You know what their challenges are. And Father, I release my faith with them even now that you are making the crooked places straight in Jesus' name. I release my faith right now in the name of Jesus that doors of opportunity are opening, that favor is abounding, that you're taking their name from the bottom to the top, that you're doing exceeding abundantly and above all that they can ask or think. I thank you right now, Father, for multiple streams of income in their lives in Jesus' name. I thank you that they live a life of no stress, no strain, and no struggle. I thank you for energy on top of energy, that you're recharging their batteries in the name of Jesus. And so, Father, I thank you for what you're doing and that you're regulating things in their bodies in the name of Jesus, that you're healing their bodies from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, that you are bringing them to a place of all sufficiency in all things. And so I thank you for what you're doing. I give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand praise in the building?